This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
What?
You were laughing.
Oh, yeah, Jefe's tweet. It's Sean Payton at the mic postgame, and it has the caption, "The hood know we won that game."
I didn't see that. I just saw a picture of Sean Payton. I didn't see the caption.
Oh, my goodness, that is so good. I love the internet.
El Jefe also retweeted us the quote from Nickell Robey-Coleman in the locker room, where he said he deliberately hit the Saints as hard as he could to stop what he thought would be a sure touchdown. And yes, he says he was early and he looked for flags afterward. And he said officials let it get dirty, and it got dirtier by the end.
I don't think I should be penalized for my pick either. I think they should have won that game. So ergo, I should have been I should have the pick right.
That would be false, sir. Yeah.
No, I totally went 2-0 this week. The refs screwed that up. But
I wish they could do that in gambling. And I get my money back.
I went 2-0. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, you get a participation trophy. Well done.
Damn, that.
Get you a ribbon.
Right? Should.
I mean, I learned my lesson, speaking about the other game, too. I mean, I don't know how many times I refuse to believe the Patriots and Tom Brady. And like we were talking about last segment, just the fact that I even knew it. When he got the ball back, it's like, oh, that's your intro. And the passes that he made. And I'll say this. Give Romo a hell of a lot of credit, because he had a great day yesterday from pointing out Gronkowski had one-on-one coverage with Barry at the top of the screen to just, you know, dialing up what was going to happen mm-hmm. before it happened again. He was on his game, but Brady was on top of his, because the throws that he made to Gronkowski and Edelman during that final drive were just in tight windows and spot on where they had to be.
Yeah, he called that Edelman over the middle. Yep. You hit Romo at one point. He's like, well, you know, they set up for Edelman over the middle. There he goes, Edelman over the middle. You would think people would almost be used to this by now. It seems like every time he does it in a big situation, people freak out about how much Romo knows, but it's obvious. This dude is good at what he does. Arians Fetus on Twitter earlier said, is he the new Madden? Is he a guy that's personable? People like to talk to, or like to listen, talk, you know. It could be. He very well could be the next Madden. I happen to think he's better than Madden already, just because the insight that you get, he blends the terminology, but not to a point where it's over your head as just a layman in watching football. Well, so he blends it well. He gives you just enough insight. And what I really liked is and a lot of people won't notice this, but he does a good job of also propping up Jim Nance at the same time. He does his thing, but at mm-hmm. the same time, he gives a lot of credit to Jim Nance, because Jim can often be overshadowed by what Romo's doing. So I feel like he does a good job of you know, propping him up. At some point, he goes, yeah, as you know, Jim Nance noticed that, and it was pointed out by the great Jim Nance. Or those little things, I think, also is why people he endears himself to people, because he does a good job of also recognizing what Jim Nance brings to the table.
Yeah, and he does. And because a lot of people think when you get to a certain age that you've lost your fastball, so to speak, even with older broadcasters. We saw Costas recently, you know, leave NBC and guys like that. But I think that also, you're right, it endures Nance to him and says, oh, he's going to give me props. But it's a good look for the network, too, because a lot of people are just going to talk strictly about Romo, because the play-by-play guy, if you don't talk about him, then he's doing his job. He's just describing the action. That's what the analyst is supposed to do. And the fact that he shows him love is another great sign. He gets it. He definitely gets it.
Yeah.
And you had said, you know, Brady says all the right things, does all the right things. But did you notice two things? And one I caught last night in the postgame, he dropped an F-bomb.
I did not. I didn't stick around for that post.
I have it if you want to hear it.
Oh, you got it?
Yep.
Yeah. Are we going to actually play the F-bomb?
It's censored.
No, then I want the actual F-bomb.
All right, let me uncensor it real
quick.
Yeah,
do that. Okay. Actually, you just say it when the beep goes
off. Oh, that's
it'll beep it. If you say it as the beep goes, it's beeping it, right?
All right, it's right at the 17-second mark, so I'll try to time it out perfect.
Point at me and I'll do it.
All right, ready?
Okay, yeah.
3, 2, and...
What's it mean, after all of that, to head back to the Super Bowl?
I first want to say hi to my wife. I love you so much. I'm coming home. Mom, Dad at home, my sisters, all my family. Thanks for your love and support. And all our fans back home, Way to go, man. What a year. What was your question?
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl.
Unbelievable, bro. This is crazy. What a game.
I totally heard it.
I don't think the people
that's scary.
Kind of.
I was gonna say, Nick, you got everything on tape, but then we got to do the new promos that would say, starting Monday, it's Bosom Buddies instead of the Usual Suspects, because you didn't censor it, and it was kind of subtle. It was. I heard it and I was like, what did he say? And I rewound it. I was like, oh, he got away with one there. But the other one that everybody kind of got downplayed, but leading into the game, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but he told Michael Giardi of the NFL Network, and he tried to say it on the air, but he soft-sold it. He's like, Brady, to fire up his teammates this week, walked into the training facility and said, I'm the baddest MF-er on the planet.
Yeah, I saw that.
He says that
Twitter.
To fire up his teammates?
And, you know, they were all like, oh, yeah, you know.
Ugh, that would make me sick. Like, that's just too cocky. You would like that?
No, I didn't say I'd like it, but I'm saying that it...
He said it to his teammates, though. He was probably pumped up. You know, like, maybe they were just letting him have his moment because he was just pumped up at that moment.
I hate it because it's true, but I still wouldn't want him to say it. I would just be like, okay, settle down, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it Tom winning at?
I'd thank his wife, too. I can tell you that, for starters.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what is he not winning?
He's winning at everything.
Yeah.
Except for he wears Uggs. Other than that...
Not
that dude
only
is winning at life.
You see what he was wearing when he walked in the stadium yesterday?
The coat?
Yeah.
And then he kind of pulled
fur
it off.
On it? Was it the one with fur on it? Oh, yeah.
And then he walked all the way across the field
totally
inside
that.
The stadium. I could see you wearing that.
I would totally
I'm like,
rock that fur.
But I looked, and Lisa's like, why is he wearing that? I go, well, good thing is it's like it's not like pre warm-ups. He's just walking in the stadium.
It's probably an Ugg jacket. That's
I wouldn't doubt
is.
It.
Yeah.
I bet you're absolutely right with that one.
Oh, this is a good text. Somebody said, Romo makes you think the game is tape delayed and he's already seen it. That's
spot on.
Very good description. What up, guys? That no call was all bad. However, it's not the reason they lost. The Saints should have killed them when they had them down. That high-powered offense didn't look so good in the second half. Great show, Chef Ed.
Okay.
All right. Very well.
I mean, and that's the thing, too. I mean, look, that's what I'm saying. In both games, you can nitpick back and forth. I didn't like the fact that the network made it – during the game, made a case that all four calls that were questioned down the stretch went the Patriots' way. No, you just want them to go the right way. If they were incorrect and it was blatant, then... and the biggest one is the one on the Edelman fumble on the punt, which I literally... And Stephen A. Smith, the only guy that I've heard that actually saw what I saw, I thought it was his thumb initially. But if you look at it in slow-mo... His one hand, his glove is not fastened, the Velcro, and it's the Velcro the flap. And it looks like the flap made, now I don't know if that counts or not, but it looked like the flap had made contact with the ball. But the karma police for once was right, because the great thing was, I didn't think we were going to have to hear about it as much because he threw the pick off Edelman's fingertips after that. Yeah. And you're like, okay, karma, whatever, it worked out.
Was it Romo? It was like, ball don't lie.
Yeah, he tried to say that. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see that. I didn't see it touch the glove strap or anything like that. I felt like it bounced right over him. Initially, I was like, oh, maybe it hit his arm, like rushed by his bicep a little bit. But clearly, from all the angles they had, and they had a lot of great angles, kudos to them.
No
kudos
doubt.
To the
There's
production
like probably
team.
Seven or eight at least.
It looked like from one angle, you'd be like, oh, it touched his thumb. But then you'd go to the opposite side, you'd be like, clearly didn't touch his thumb. Oh, it touched his arm. Another angle, oh, it clearly didn't. I think at the end of the day, they got it right. I felt like it hopped over him and didn't touch him. And, you know, I didn't see the tab thing, but maybe I just didn't notice it. But I felt like they got that right. Were there some blown calls that the Patriots benefited from? Absolutely. And I agree with you. They made it feel like, they're not inaccurate by saying the calls went the Patriots' way. They absolutely did.
Right.
But because some of them were accurate like that, where that went their way because I felt like that was the right call. But they did benefit that phantom.
Oh, the phantom roughing face mask the passer. Or whatever. Yeah, roughing the passer was ridiculous.
I mean, you could I will say this: the when they said there was contact to the head of the QB, he did brush by the face mask. You can clearly see the helmet move slightly, but it was not egregious. It wasn't. I mean, by the letter of the law, okay. But if that's what we're going to call, that's ridiculous because it grazed his helmet and that was it.
And here's what I loved, because I'm always a little skeptical when they bring in their ex-referee analyst, because you know that they still are loyal to the NFL if they try and cover for the officials.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Stachatore was quick to say, look, that's the head referee's call. and I understand that he's at a bad angle and he doesn't really get a chance to see it. And then he finished it with, but in that case, you got to call what you see. And if you didn't see it, you don't make that call. And I was like, boom, I'll take that all day, every
day.
Decent
explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. Decent explanation.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you're right. Because if you're on the backside of it and you're not 100% sure, don't throw the flag.
I mean, it's like Steph Curry and or people are going to say it about Harden too, or, you know, other people. If they like look like they got hit by a sniper and they sell it really well,
you're going to call it.
You're going to call that because you do have a bad angle because you're watching so many things.
Yeah.
So I thought he was spot on too. And Romo was almost like setting him up going, you know, let's give you an easy one now because you've had a couple tough ones to deal with. And
right.
But yeah, I thought they did a great job. I thought the overall CBS broadcast was fantastic.
I thought it was too. I thought they did really well.
And I was going to say the one thing that you had said, kudos to all the angles, because especially on the Edelman play, they had an aerial and it's seemingly a 360. They had every angle from every perspective. So really, it was not hard to believe. It wasn't just Patriots love and hating on the Chiefs. It was legitimately where you could see, I can see why they switched it.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I don't know if you guys have started, but today for me officially begins the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. I am in. I weighed this morning, 205.2. I know that's not my official weigh-in. My official weigh-in was here in clothes. I was 207. But I'm on board. Now, Thursday, I was at Vortex working out, and I'm telling you guys, you need to get in there and get some workouts in with me. They've got, first of all, Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. And you're like, well, what the heck does that mean, multi-sensory indoor? It means like when you're working out, when you're in the boxing class and you're hitting the bags and Trey has Snoop Dogg on the speakers and the lights are dimming and getting brighter as you're supposed to pick up the intensity. And it's just multi-sensory. You're not just working out. You're engaging everything. And that goes for the workout. It's a full body workout. It's not just throwing punches and working your arms and shoulders out. My legs were sore from this past workout on Thursday. So both of the workouts, the spin classes and the boxing classes, full body workouts. And the thing I like, they only take 45 minutes. You're not eating up a lot of your time, spending multiple hours at the gym, and you're really only spending 45 minutes actually working out. That's your time investment. You get there, the class starts, the class is over, you leave, 45 minutes, that's the investment. And speaking of investments, man, right now they've got a special going. I think you guys should take advantage of this. This is a really great deal. For $40, you can get unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. So you can come work out with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can go do the spin classes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check it out for a week for $40, and then whatever you like, you can sign up for and go from there. And they've got plenty of bikes. They've got plenty of bags, heavy bags in the gym. No reason not to get out there. And Trey, as you hear, he knows this stuff about boxing, but he's also going to teach you how to box while you work out. And this last one, me and Jordan were at Thursday. Guys, it's still 4-to-1 ratio, if you know what I'm saying. Huh? Huh? You know what I'm saying there? Get out there and give it a shot. 1707 West Gray. Give him a call. 281-501-3094. 281-501-3094. Best way to get there, though, VortexTexas.com. That's VortexTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday from Gow Media. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride on your holiday, or maybe not holiday, Monday. That's always just a weird deal.
What is?
Some companies give you the day off, some don't. And then, of course, you say, well, and then all state and, you know, officials of the government get off. And you're like, well, but they've been giving off whether they like it or not for the past 3.5 weeks. And I'm laughing because it's just such a joke. It's a farce that these people aren't working and people are like giving all these. While the whole shutdown, the government shutdown is going on, thankfully local businesses and such are reaching out to give these people food and people are trying to give them a little help with bills and things like that. It's a bad deal, man.
I just want to know, am I getting my tax return? That's all I want to know.
Your taxes are done already?
No, but if I get money back, I want to know, am I getting my money back? Because last I saw and heard is they weren't going to be issuing refunds.
Oh, really?
Oh, hell no. Now it's going to get serious.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting.
No doubt about it. And interesting, especially the longer it goes.
I have so many thoughts that I don't even want to.
I'm with you. I'm with you because the thing
on.
Is, it's like even.
I hate talking politics.
I do too because you can't win.
No.
Regardless of whether you try and stay neutral or whatever side you even somewhat microscopically lean, someone's going to have a huge issue with it and it just goes off the
Well, it's just mostly because people are idiots. That's why you can't talk politics. People have no ability to rationalize and compromise.
There's so much I could even say there that I'm not going to say. I will say this. You mentioned, and you were talking about the suspect's weight loss challenge started in earnest this morning, official, everything like that. The Last Supper occurred last night.
Uh-oh.
I was sitting there watching the games, and I was debating, working out, what I was going to do. I was like, once the game started, I'm like, nah, I'm comfortable, and I'm not going to. And so I was like, well, I got all the salad stuff, and I just make a salad in between games and everything like that. And I was like, no, the Last Supper. I'm gonna call Fallible Brothers. I'm gonna get me one last go round on a pizza, and then it's over. It's on, and it's time to get to work. So I did that.
Good for you.
God, it was fantastic too.
Yeah,
I brought the rest in here, so I wasn't tempted to touch it.
Yeah.
And reheat it. But now I'm ready to go.
So you had one meal that you went crazy on.
Yeah.
I went nuts over the weekend.
Well, you went last week when you were talking about even the day you worked out. You came back and you had McDonald's or was it pizza and ice cream?
Yeah. My Sunday consisted of waking up at about 10 and having pigs in a blanket.
Oh, wow.
Which we never I was at the store on Saturday. And I was like, you know what? We're going out with a bang. So I got pigs in a blanket and cinnamon rolls.
Oh, Lisa loves her some cinnamon rolls.
Oh, I got the Cinnabon buttercream icing.
Lisa's the one that her whole family hates because she won't eat the outside, so that she gets all of that frosting and middle part. She digs it out.
We did the pigs in a blanket. Didn't have the Cinnabons just because I was so full. I mean, it's two of us. We ate a whole damn thing of the pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket is what wrapped in bacon?
It's a croissant. Not bacon. It's a croissant.
Oh, my mom called pigs in a blanket something different. She made something where it was something, and then wrapped the whole thing in bacon.
Summer sausages, I think it's called. It's the little weenies. It's the little white boy sausages.
Okay.
And you wrap them in a croissant. Like, you take a croissant and you cut it into small triangles, and you basically wrap it, and then you bake it for however long it says to bake the croissants.
Isn't that a kolache?
Legit. No, it's not a kolache. It's called pigs in a blanket. It is legit.
It does sound a lot like a kolache, though.
Yeah.
Because a kolache has, like, the same idea where it has, like a little...
The little wiener.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you.
Inside, and then there's cheese, and then... Yeah.
Not the kolaches you get it.
But I think the bread... Shipley. I think the fact that it is called what you're saying is because it's a croissant, not a...
No, but it's...
The bread is different.
No, but this isn't a full-size croissant. You understand? You know how croissants and that roll, each of them is a triangle, and then you roll up the triangle? You take that triangle, and you cut it into, like, five or seven different triangles. So it's very small. Like, I'm talking, like, 2 inches max. And that's what you roll up the sausage in, and then you bake them. So it's real small.
Yeah, I don't think those are kolaches. I think the reason it just sounds a lot like it.
True.
It's similar.
But that's so yours. You said your version of pigs in the blanket was wrapping them in bacon.
My mom's would finish like whatever it was. But yeah, she would definitely finish it with a good wrap of a lot of bacon.
I'm mad at that. That sounds like ideal. Like, wrap it in the croissant and then wrap the croissant in bacon. I may have to do that next time.
Well, and you're right, because according to Wikipedia, pigs in a blanket is a variety of different sausage-based foods in the UK, United States, Denmark, and other places. The sausage center varies depending on those geographic locations, and it is then put into a pastry.
It's not the summer sausage. What is it? It's like the hill...
Variations. Wrapped in bacon, wrapped in pastry, filled with cheese... Or using pancake batter instead of
that's interesting.
Croissant.
Whatever. Well, our version is you get the croissant and then those little weenies. I don't know what they are. The summer sausages, or I don't know what the hell a summer
cocktail
sausage
weenies?
Is. No, it's like I'll have to find them. It's just they're like little bitty smoky Joes. Or I'm telling you, they're little white boy weenies. I don't know what they're called. I don't know what
white
they are.
White boy weenies.
I don't know what they are. But so we did that, and then I had Sonic for lunch. And then Nora found that there's a new Oreo out. There's the Mega Stuff.
Someone tweeted it.
What does it look like? I'm not.
It's just like two or three double stuffs.
Yeah.
But with just one cookie on each side.
Oh.
So the cream filling is like.
It's expanded.
Overdone. It's overdone.
It looks like it looks like a double doozy from the cookie company. It's like legit.
I haven't seen those at all.
So she bought a thing of those, ate the whole thing. Not a row, not two rows. I ate the whole thing. And we bought the mini brownies, and I had those. I just got down yesterday. Man, so
I can't.
Yeah,
see,
you
I
did one meal.
That.
I'm like, one meal. I did one weekend because Saturday was ridiculous too, what we ate on Saturday. So I went all out.
Now, I did Friday night. We had Chinese food.
Okay.
So that was a little bit pushing it.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, right before bed, Lisa and Taylor made they've got this thing now, this routine where they make Christmas cookies, but then they put frosting. And the frosting's fantastic, and sprinkles. And I'm sitting there smelling it the whole time. And right before I went to bed, I was like, no, man. If we're starting this thing Monday, those things smell great. I got to have a couple of those. And I had a couple of those, but I didn't go off the deep. If I went off the deep end like you, now that would I could do what you – when you talk about how quickly you can go up or down.
Oh, man.
God, I'd be flying me over football games for an aerial view.
Because I was – what did I tell you I was on Friday?
You were still over 205 or right at 205.
Well, 207 weighing in full clothes. I think in the morning I weighed 200 or 202 or something like that. So I gained 3 pounds over the weekend.
That's unreal.
So you did 207 here
on the scale with fully clothed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scale here might be a little heavy.
Is it still out there right now?
Yeah. You need to get your fat ass on there.
Okay.
Too.
I'm about to.
Because Joel and I weighed in.
Yeah. How much did you weigh, Joel?
900 pounds.
229.
229.
228 something.
Oh, did she put the exact?
Yeah, it was like 228 something.
Yeah. Not happy about that.
So it's gonna be no. Don't worry. He's gonna be like 240.
No, he's not.
Easily.
No way. He's gonna be like 175.
Just his head alone weighs two bills.
I'll wear with all my clothes. I'll weigh in with all my clothes though.
No, that's cheating. You gotta take your jacket off.
Yeah, he was very worried I was gonna cheat. By the way,
yeah, putting quarters in his pocket and
okay,
a roll of coins.
I mean, how much clothes can I take off?
I mean, you
in
don't
the
have
studio?
To.
I don't know.
The thing
getting
is, we're not gonna. We don't get any of the prizes.
Yeah.
So it does.
Oh, that's right. So I'm not gonna weigh in.
What?
Yeah, I'll weigh in. I'll weigh in. I'll weigh in. I'm just.
You
playing.
Still got to weigh in. We just, you know, it's just for so we can make fun of you. You're the skinniest dude on the show. You better weigh in. It makes no sense.
All right, we've got 90 in the book. Still got 90 to go in the big show. The second half is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Nick, Barry, Joel at the Gal Media Studios. Appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride. Second half right now getting started. If you missed the first half, we did touch on the games, touched on a bunch of other stuff. And again, the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge is in
full swing.
Full
if you
swing
didn't
today.
Get weighed in, you're not in it. Sorry. But if you weighed in at any of the Man Center's locations or here at the studio and your name and weight was officially recorded, you are in. Good luck. We'll have some stuff coming up in the coming days and weeks that'll help you guys, and including nutritionists, just like we did last year. We had some folks on the show to give you some ideas, and we'll do that. In fact, I'll give you one of my ideas. By the way, I got to clean something up real quick. Mm-hmm. Little Smokies. Mm. Are the name of the sausages that you use for pigs in a blanket. They're called Little Smokies. And I think I was saying croissant. Somebody pointed out I meant crescent rolls. So you get the crescent rolls and Little Smokies, and that's pigs in a blanket.
They do. They look like the Pillsbury crescent rolls when I Googled it to read the definition. You're right.
They're legit. It reminds me of Chick-fil-A. Like, you just sit there and eat them. You never get full. It's crazy. Speaking of Chick-fil-A, this is my pro tip for if you want to eat fast food or you don't have time to grab like your own dinner and you just need to eat out. I went to Chick-fil-A, got a grilled chicken sandwich, and then I got the 6 grilled nuggets. And Cody had turned me on to the buffalo sauce. I didn't know they had buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
I knew they had barbecue sauce and Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian sauce. I had no idea they had just a buffalo sauce, 25 calories per pack. Well, the grilled chicken nuggets come in a little container with a lid on it. I took the buffalo sauce, poured it in, put the lid on, shook it up. That was legit. And all that was less than 500 calories. So it's a good little...
I think it's a... I've never seen them before, and I don't know how they taste, but the grilled nugget concept sounds fantastic.
They're okay. They're not nearly okay. as good as the regular nuggets.
I can't do it. It's like going to Hooters and ordering those naked wings as opposed to like the regular wings. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Try what I said.
No, that
from an eating healthy perspective.
Yeah.
Take the buffalo. A whole pack is 25 calories. And I had six nuggets. So if you get six or eight, it's still, you get a good flavor, like a coating on them. And just pour the whole thing in there, put the lid on it, shake it up, and then eat the nuggets. It was legit.
I'm sure I'd eat that.
It was legit.
I remember you and Cody talking about it, but didn't Cody mix that buffalo
sauce
with something?
He said you take some ranch and pour a little, but then I don't want those calories. So I just wanted grilled nuggets, which is 0 calories on, or 0 points on Weight Watchers. Zero. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I could eat 12 if I wanted to, but it's just basically might as well just eat a grilled chicken breast, like plain, like ugh.
I'm assuming ranch has more calories than
absolutely
buffalo sauce, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all mayonnaise-like based.
I could pull up my app, but I could tell you that, it's way more.
Yeah. So. I think so, too. I just couldn't, I forget how, like, because ranch is such a big compliment to so many things that people just absolutely have to have.
Ranch is amazing.
Like celery and carrot sticks. It's always great when people are like, I'm eating healthy. I'm eating celery and carrot sticks. But you see them dipping it in ranch. Yeah. Like, you ain't eating
You can't
healthy.
See the celery, but all you see is the ranch.
Yeah, you're not eating healthy.
They use the celery as a straw to drink the ranch, just two of them together.
Or like a spoon is carved out, and then just in the middle, you just scoop it.
Absolutely.
No, you're not eating healthy. No.
I'm gonna find out for you, Nick, how many calories it is. I'll let you know.
Your boy's on hold.
My boy?
Yeah.
That's our boy.
Yeah, our boy. And here's the thing. Clarence was tweeting when he finally said he was okay yesterday. And then he was like alluding to, I'm going to let this sit for a while. And then I'm going to actually go off. And I go, he was explaining how he was going to go off. And I go, you mean on Twitter, right? Like, you're not going to call any shows or anything. You're just going to go off on Twitter and spare us from this. Everybody started laughing. I was like, that ain't happening. He's calling. And I understand.
Before we bring him on, let's play the highlight for him.
Third down and 10. Breeze from the gun. Takes the snap. Goes to the near side. Hit early. Where's the flag?
You don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payton is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable no call.
Wow. Not a flag to be found.
Unbelievable.
That's the second time. You can't challenge it. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
What was the beep?
I don't know. I guess the broadcaster.
Broadcaster's cussed?
Yeah, Tyler had to bleep it out.
Somebody in the background.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that. Yeah,
probably. They were probably near a coach's box or something.
My bad, Clarence.
And without further ado, Clarence, we won't even turn the shot clock on for you because I know you got stuff to get off your chest. You don't get like 5 minutes.
But easy now.
You get a couple, Clarence, because we know you're grieving right now. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. What's up?
I fully expect you to be like, what's up, fellas? What's up, man? You okay? You good?
Yeah, because, you know, like I told you, I had to take a day, and I woke up this morning, and I found myself, I was still angry about it, and not just the one call. I was angry about it because of that one call. There was another helmet-to-helmet call that didn't call that took Josh Hill out the game. There was another pass interference that people thought never submit.
Clarence. Sorry, Clarence. I didn't cut you off.
Nope.
I didn't cut you off. Call back.
Yeah, your signal is...
You went into like a tunnel or something. So,
yeah, a tunnel of sadness.
Clarence, call back. Clarence, see if we can let you finish that, because I know you're feeling bad.
Get off that Primeco phone and call back.
I was curious if you asked him that question.
What?
How he would answer. Would you rather be the Texans and get absolutely dominated?
We'll ask him.
Yeah.
We'll find out. So I looked it up real quick, since we're waiting on Clarence here. Zesty buffalo sauce from Chick-fil-A, 25 calories. The ranch sauce, 140 calories. For one of those little packs, 140 calories.
Would you rather put the ranch in that box and shake up the box with the naked, is it the naked nuggets?
It's
what are
just
they
grilled nuggets.
Grilled nuggets.
Yeah.
They call it naked at Hooters for some reason.
No. Hell no. I mean, I would, the ranch would be preferred. Actually, their Chick-fil-A sauce is my favorite. It's 140 calories. So it's not, it's the same as ranch. The Polynesian sauce is 110. Honey mustard's 45 calories. Barbecue sauce is 45 calories.
That's,
but the buffalo sauce is 25, so it's the best option.
That surprised me because honey mustard is still mayonnaise based.
Is it? I thought it was honey and mustard. I don't think it's mayonnaise based.
I think to get that kind of cream, that lighter yellow and everything like that, I've always thought that they also include like mayo and or...
I'll look it up. Really? But I do like the barbecue sauce being, what, 40 or 45?
That's what I'm saying. Calories. That disappoints me that barbecue sauce is 45 when I thought, much like their buffalo sauce, I would think barbecue sauce isn't, because it's not high in fat.
Right.
I would think it'd be less.
Get that zesty buffalo sauce.
All right, mix Clarence is back. Let's do this again, Clarence. Hopefully you're not going through any more tunnels.
You got cut off when you're mentioning all the bad calls.
Your pranko phone, Barry. Yeah, man, and it was. I was upset, but then I really got really PO'd when I was watching the Chiefs game and saw that phantom roughing the quarterback call, and it is horrible the way these officials are officiating this game. Now, to the Saints game, was that the play that affected the game? Yes. Was it the only play? No. They could have blew them out the water. They didn't, because the Rams are the Rams. They're a good team. They wouldn't have made it there if they weren't. Unlike other teams who feel like getting on Twitter and start talking trash about my team, and you can't even make it to the playoffs, Falcons. I'm still pretty salty because I had to watch all of the coverage while I was at work, talking about how plays could have been made. And that one play shouldn't affect. Yes, that one play affected the game. That one play affected our friend's betting, who lost $300 on that game. That one play, because two reps, not one, but two, who are looking at the play, can't call a flag, just held it in their pocket. Just decided, you know what, I'm full from all the gumbo, the etouffee, the beignets, everything in between, and I can't get the flag out my pocket because I'm feeling a little too fat. That affected the game. That affected everything that was because of that play. We had a fight that was at the bar I was at. I mean, a knockdown, drag out fight because of that happening.
Wow.
It sickens me.
All right.
And it sickens me as a Saints fan, and it sickens me as a person who loves football and is watching football, and everybody and their mama. Unborn children and all knew that was a penalty.
All right, Clarence, I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Nick and Joel earlier, because I'm curious what a Saints fan would say. Would you rather go out like the Saints went out, knowing that that lack of a call, most likely 90% chance, cost the Saints a trip to the Super Bowl, or just get thumped like the Texans did and know that you just got beat?
I'd rather just get beat.
Okay.
If you just get beat, you can accept it. You can swallow it and like, you know what? Better luck next year. But to lose like this, and not just one, you see, I accepted the Minnesota Miracle because guess what? The defense gave it up.
Yep.
You can accept that. It hurts. But to lose like that, when it's from someone else who decided not to call the call that should lose, a helmet-to-helmet and a PI, you missed two plays and one. Yeah, to lose like that, it hurts. It's going to hurt for a couple of days. And if you know it hurts me, imagine how the guys in the locker room feel. Some of them are getting ready for the Pro Bowl, and others, they're just packing up their locker and getting ready for next year.
No kidding, man.
But I'm proud of my boy. Do that for life, man.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. We're glad you're getting over it already.
Alive and well.
The interesting thing is you're seeing a lot of reports coming out about the officiating crew and how three of them live in or near Los Angeles. One of them played for the Rams and the Falcons.
I saw that tweet, but was it verified?
I don't know. That's what they're saying. That one of them played for the Rams and the Falcons, who are noted rivals, as Clarence will show you in each of his calls, of the Saints. So I don't know if that to be true. The whole living in L.A. thing, look, they got to live somewhere, and it's probably going to be a major city so that they can travel. So even if they lived in Houston or New York, I mean, that I'm not going to. But if you have a referee that played for a team or an official that played for a team, I don't think you can allow that official to officiate that game.
Well, you remember,
if that is true.
You remember the replacement officials? When they brought the replacement officials in, there was a diehard Saints fan that was made a replacement official, and he was refereeing Saints games, and the league stepped in and said, we can't do this.
Well, so, I'll find out the name of the guy, but yeah.
Don't give it to Clarence. Apparently, he might be making a package or two at home.
Yeah, apparently one of the officials
that's
was
what
a,
I read,
a former
but
Rams.
I didn't know if it was verified.
Well, I'll look it up.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. If you guys want to be like Clarence and join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Hour number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Jump up and get down.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still plugging along. Hour number two, three-hour show. Appreciate you being along with us on a MLK Day Monday. Obviously, a lot of Saints fans in the area, still very passionate. We had our man Clarence on last segment. We kind of expected that. And like I said, I was interacting with him yesterday, and he kind of warned me that he was going to digest it all before he let it out. And he let it out on the show. Rich wants to talk about Saints fans. Let's get him in here real quick. Rich, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Love the show. Listen every day.
Thank you, Rich.
Appreciate that.
I just wanted to know, why do they blame the refs for it? Now, don't get me wrong. You can use bad adjective you want for the call because it should have been called. I mean, I ref basketball for over 20 years, and yeah, we make bad calls. We human too. Should have been called, yes. But at the end of the day, go back to the first quarter, they left 8 points on the board. They got two field goals, and they should have scored touchdowns. The score should have been 21-0 instead of 13-0. And now you look at, like, oh, it's the refs' fault, but you left points on the board. Even after the fact, they kicked the field goal to go 23-20. Play defense. You still got overtime. Play D. So the ref, yeah, it was a bad call, but you still got to take some kind of accountability for, look, you get out there, it's not going to change. If he missed it, he missed it. It's not going to change anything. Crying and complaining is not going to change it. Get out there and play ball. They don't say nothing about the fact how when Breeze threw the interception, how Dante Pollard killed the offensive lineman and blew him up right in his face. You got to do stuff. Little things like that adds up to a loss, not just a bad call from ref. It was calls that probably was bad on both sides of the game. But you can't just say that was the main reason you lost the game. Man, the game should have been over with in the first quarter. I left after the first quarter. I had to go somewhere, but the score should have been 21-0, and it's a whole different ball game instead of 13-0. Because now you give the Rams a chance to say, okay, we can run the ball, do what we got to do, score a touchdown, we back in it. You are 2-1-0. You taking what's the name, Gurley and C.J. Anderson out of the game completely, and now they one dimensional. And now you can do whatever you got to do instead of complaining about a bad call, which was bad. I agree, it was horrible. But that wasn't the total reason why they lost the game.
Hey, appreciate the call, Rich. Thank you. You want to go first?
You go ahead. I know.
Here's the thing, Rich, about your argument. As you say, if you make this play, if you make that play, the fact of the matter is that despite all of that, if the correct call is made, they're in a position to win the game. So they still you get credit for overcoming mistakes you made in previous quarters. Because at that point, regardless of every other factor involved in the game and shoulda, coulda, woulda in quarters 1 through 3, at that point in the game, if the correct call is made, the Saints have a 90% chance of winning that game. So you can't say that because there's always going to be mistakes made on both sides of the ball that could have allowed for or cost them points. The fact of the matter is that regardless of all of that, the Saints put themselves in a position – And the Rams as well to win or lose that game, and the officials chose not to make the call that should have been called.
I mean, my easiest answer was I just go back to the old Herm Edwards. You can talk about everything he said, but you play to win the game.
So you play to win the game.
Yes. You're playing the situation, the hand you've been dealt. So regardless if you got 21 or 13 or whatever it was, the only argument that I could see with Rich making was the one we talked about earlier, which is if you want to get bring it back at the Saints, then say Sean Payton should have run the ball three times into the line, not passed the ball, which allowed a lot of time to be left on the clock or enough time to be left on the clock so that the Rams could end up doing something.
But even then, Joel, if they call it like they're supposed to, they kneel three times, there's 15 seconds left on the clock, they kick a field goal from the 10-yard line, ball game. They're not.
I'm talking about before the interference call that wasn't called. I'm talking about.
But I'm saying it doesn't matter. None of that matters because at that point, if that call is made, somebody did the research. They could run three plays. I think the Rams had one timeout left. They could run three plays, which would bring the clock all the way down to 15 seconds by the time they kick a 10-yard field goal. And at that point, that's ball game. So it doesn't matter about clock management up to that point. It's from that point forward. And from that point, the call wasn't made.
Okay, but the argument was that from the time the call was made, the Rams still had, 47 seconds, 49 seconds, whatever it was, they left on the clock, that the Rams went down to actually tie the game and send it to overtime?
There was like a minute 43 when the pass interference happened that wasn't called.
I didn't think it was that much time.
Yeah, it was like a minute 43. Right.
But their big point of contention was, if Sean Payton did a better job of doing what the textbook coaching says and just run it into the line three times before the interference call actually happens because they're passing it again in that situation, that if he would have just run it three times, that there's no way that...
I get what you're saying, but to me, no matter what happened before that point, it doesn't affect that if the right call is made, ball game. So it shouldn't matter what opportunities were missed by either side. Oh, well, the Rams dropped a touchdown pass or this and that. Yeah, that's true, but all of that is players not making plays or making plays or whatever. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to the fact that there was a call that should have been called that wasn't called. So none of that other stuff really matters.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I went back. The first thing, the initial comment I made was the Herm Edwards point, which is no matter what could have, would have, or should have happened previous to that, too, and I think this also translates to what you were just saying there, too, is the fact that regardless of if you should have been up 40 or 30 or 20 or 10, you're playing it the way it's playing out. And the way it's playing out is playing right into your hands to actually just, follow textbook and win.
Because it looks like he's going to catch it. That was a back shoulder throw. If he doesn't.
See, that's the one where I watched it a couple times, too, because the first time you were saying his back was turned, but it looked like it was going to go into his back. And it actually goes past him, and it wasn't really high off the ground. And I was curious that, because he even said himself, Roby said, if I was turning around and looking the other way, he was implying I would have caught it and gone the other way for a pick. No. But the fact that even when you're looking, it was on the other side of you. My only question was Smith going to be able to get around him and make that catch? I was looking at that. But regardless, I mean, it's obviously all about the call and the call that wasn't made. And I see what you're saying.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to ask you guys about it, but yeah, I forgot now.
Okay.
My bad.
And I'll give a lot of kickers credit. Even notorious kicker hater Rex Ryan had to give they're professional kickers because they made the kicks. But there was, you talk about Butker in the middle of that cold weather.
Yeah.
And then I forget which ex-kickers on the sidelines and did everything but completely jinx him by saying, now he even brought this situation up to me before the game today to say that, what it's going to mean to him and that, if he made it. And I was like, oh God, he's jinxing the hell out of him. He's going to miss it. But in the cold and everything, and like we talked about, and the Zuerlein kick, that thing had so much on it that it was pounded. And then even the game winner was a bomb.
I can't believe this to be true, but we just got tagged on a tweet from Donna Rogers. A sports book in New Jersey is refunding bets to the Saints on the Saints due to the widespread belief that the team was victimized by a blown call.
No way.
I can't believe that to be true. No way a sports book is giving money back.
No way.
Get out of here. I'm not blaming you, Donna. I'm just saying I don't believe that.
All right. 1 hour to go in the Big Show. Don't go anywhere. The Sports Mappers join us next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.